for others, the greater glory of God, the common good, working for justice and peace in order that there might be a true communion in our world. But at the heart of all of these is the realization that we never finish the job, do we? We just don't. We live with a sense of being incomplete, unfinished. Sometimes we don't even do the works we're supposed to do as well as we would like to do them. Part of the whole Christian experience, and part of what St. Ignatius has incorporated in his own spiritual exercises, is this profound sense that none of us make it unless we can forgive ourselves, forgive one another. Mercy is the outreach of God's relentless love to all of us. We don't deserve it. We simply receive it. And that's such a great part of the whole Ignatian tradition. When the early Jesuits tried to name what their early ministries would be, the phrase that captured what they were doing best was ministries of consolation, bringing people hope, giving them a new horizon, giving them a second chance. And bearing that great gift of mercy has sometimes been a burden, because it's so easy to misunderstand it as saying somehow or other you don't care, or one thing as good as another. Forgetting that God must find it very embarrassing to be God, because God cannot do anything else but forgive. My name is mercy, loving kindness. And what we have in this gospel episode today is a repetition of a theme throughout Luke's gospel, that Jesus came not to call the righteous, but those who most need him. And we have it dramatized in this gospel parable. The Pharisee was a man of perfection. He was also a man of performance. He knew what to do, and he did it, fulfilling all of the obligations, all the norms, perfectly. The only thing he forgot along the way is that God is not a program, God is a person. And God will judge the way we love God as person by the way we love persons around us. And not only when they're good and kind, and not only when they're beautiful, and not only when they're zealous, and not only when they produce, but when they stumble and fail. When they have nothing to give us but their pain, their sorrow, and their searching. So many of you are parents. You love your kids because they're your kids. And they know when you love them because they are lovable to you, not because they always do what is lovable. They're people, and they learn by making mistakes. They learn by trial and error. But what they need most, and what you give them, is the environment of love that says, I forgive you, and we will try again. You are God's mercy to them. That's part of what it is, to bear with your kids, to help them, support them. Pope Francis has reminded us the church at its best should be that kind of loving mother, that loving parent, that loving presence. That not everything we do that we call Roman Catholic is always perfect, neat, clean, efficient. We're a messy people. We need forgiveness. And the Pharisee stands before the Lord saying, I want to congratulate you on making me. I am your great handiwork. A truth that's been distorted by his own blindness. In contrast to him, there is the tax collector, one who was despised by his fellow persons, one who was looked upon as a renegade, a crook, and with great justification. Huh? But he dragged himself to the back of that temple area. He bowed his head, and all he could do was to strike his breast and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I don't know about you, but I've said that. I felt the great need that only God can give me of saying, "I love you because you have nowhere else to go, and that's what it's all about. If I did not love you, I would never have given my son to you." And one of the most lovely moments of priesthood is to pass along what you receive from the Lord to other folks, and to tell them that they too are loved and gathered together in a divine embrace that says, "I forgive you." A great church historian talked about going to the Church of Christ in Oxford, England. And as he sat there praying, he noticed on the floor a set of medallions. And one of them was for fortitude, and one for prudence, one for justice, one for temperance. Then he noticed there was a fifth medallion on the floor, and it was labeled Misericordia, mercy. And he said the artist realized something that the officiants and the theologians sometimes forget, that you can't have virtues without mercy, because we don't always live up to them. And there on that floor was the reminder that the fifth great cardinal virtue is mercy. Another theologian has described that mercy as the willingness to enter into the chaos of another. To go where you'd rather not go, but who else will be there? To be the Samaritan that Luke talks about earlier in his gospel. And so we gather together as Jesuit alumni and alumnae and friends to be reminded that this year of mercy that Pope Francis has called came out of a Jesuit heart, came out of a heart of the gospel. To realize that all of us together are meant to be a community of mercy, unafraid to reach out and say, "I need God's presence," and unafraid to reach out and say, "And I will be for you the presence of God's mercy." This is what we practice, what we open, what we receive at our Eucharist. In that moment in which Jesus says, "Whatever other name you wish to give me, please remember that radical to all is that I am mercy. Shall I not forgive?" And so let's look at our own hearts. I look at mine, you look at yours, and ask quite simply, do I open myself to the fact that no matter what I've done, I am received and loved by this God of mercy? And in solidarity with all that I've been given, I reach out and say, "I want to give mercy." And if we live like that, then Augustine tells us, we will be one Christ loving himself. And that's what the church is.
As brothers and sisters united in the mercy of God, let us pray the ancient prayer of our ancestors of faith, the Apostles' Creed found in your worship 170.